Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, lockdown haircuts, horse trams, and Tom the Dipper. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Katie, you're back from your staycation.
I am.
Did you have a nice time?
Refreshed. I did. It was lovely.
Did you go anywhere nice?
Actually, I did. The place I talk about at the end of this is where I visited briefly during my four-day weekend.
Oh, during your yesterday training, you're going to reveal one of the places you went to. I'll look forward to that.
Yes.
And I obviously got lots to discuss this week, and obviously 40 minutes to do it in because of the Zoom police. But I'm going to kick off with, now, the Courier's out at the moment, as Katie will testify. It's in the shops at the moment, and of course you can get it digitally at iomtoday.co.im. And every week we carry the MSPCA column. Sam, are you a regular reader of this?
Yeah, I pour for it.
Now, have you read this week yet?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't got a Courier.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about this then.
They're at work. They're at work, Sam.
Yeah,
but they come in and go straight into reception and bring them upstairs.
Maybe go down after this then. But this week's column, written by Joanna at the MSPCA, is brilliant. She always writes a really good column, and this week's is really good. And it's talking about how we go back to work and how dogs and pets will have got used to having us around the house. So then when we go back, it could be quite a stressful time for them because they suffer from separation anxiety at the best of times. So how can we ease this as we go back to the old routine? So I didn't know this, but Spotify have specialized in dog playlists and now have a dog podcast. And the podcast is something like my favorite dog podcast or something like that. Have a look on Spotify after you've listened to this. Have listened to the dog podcast. And apparently,
I'm really curious to like what kind of songs are on there.
Well, apparently it's all really chilled out stuff. And occasionally there's like reassurance. So it'll be like, good dog. Well done.
That is so cute.
So it's amazing. It's saying, Joanna says in a column, which I do recommend you read if you get to see the Courier, it says like, I think 70% of dog owners leave some music or the television on for them when they're out of the house. And Spotify have sort of seen a bit of a gap in the market for this. So they've got dog playlists and a dog podcast. So after you've listened to us, maybe have a look at this. You've got a dog, Jess. Do you think your dog would be interested in a podcast?
He might actually. I don't know. He's pretty independent as is, but I mean, I think it's worth experimenting.
Yeah. Well, maybe get people to play a podcast to them and see how they get on.
Yeah. That's really
good for our listener figures.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Really good, wouldn't it? So maybe just good boy. Good boy. Well done. Off me leg now. Off me leg. Occasionally we'll just throw in a bit of dog reassurance just throughout this podcast. Now the other thing I wanted to discuss at the start of the podcast was lockdown haircuts. I gave in this week and the wife got the kitchen scissors out and had a good chop at mine. Thankfully it doesn't look too bad, although I haven't seen the back yet. That could look an absolute mess. Sam, I can see you pouring at your hair. You obviously haven't had a lockdown haircut yet.
Well, no, weirdly I actually had shaved my head just a week before this all started. But then, luckily, nobody was about to see it. So, I was fine with that. Because my hair grows back quite quickly. So,
are you getting to the point where you start? So, we're sort of seven weeks in now. Are you thinking about maybe I need to get the clips back out?
No, I get them out when somebody shouts Seth Rogen at me.
Now, girls, it's obviously a lot different for you guys. I'm guessing you wouldn't want to sort of do it yourself, but Jess, you're sort of shaking your head there.
It's too risky because I would, I'd ask either my mum or my sister, and I just don't trust them. I don't trust myself either, so I'm a bit of a pickle, really. But I have really been thinking about dyeing my hair a color, you know, like maybe a purple or a pink. I'm not sure. I thought I might go a bit wild, but I'm too scared to do it, Andy. I can't.
Kay, what are your thoughts?
All my friends have dyed their hair. They're all like pink, blue, purple. They've all gone for it. I haven't touched my hair. I don't think I will. Yeah. Just because I was supposed to be at the hairdresser's, like the week we started working from home, she had to cancel the appointments and things. So my hair definitely needs to be cut. But my boyfriend, his hair is just crazy. And he's got a massive ginger beard. So he kind of looks like Tormund from Game of Thrones. The other day he shaved his beard and now he looks about 15 years younger. And I can't cut his hair. I just know I'll do an awful job. I know it.
See, well, Beck, obviously, my wife, she sort of, it took a while, to be fair, but I think she was just sort of making sure it looked, you know, half decent. But I thought at that point, you know, if it does go wrong, what's the worst? You know, no one's going to see it. I could stay in the house, claim him social distancing, it is a bit of a leap of faith. But I'm sure there are people out there that has gone a bit wrong. Do you know what I mean? You know,
for sure, yeah.
So I think
she's done a really good job on yours.
It's not too bad. She's managed the grey out as well, which is quite impressive. what I was going to say, yeah, so if people have lockdown haircut pictures, the good, the bad, the ugly, please do share them with our social media, at IRM News Podcast. We were talking about maybe putting the best in the paper as well, weren't we, on our editorial meeting yesterday, Jess?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was speaking to one of the doctors, Dr. Rankin. He's been on the headlines quite a lot recently, and he shaved his hair, and he was given, like, show around, and there was a massive patch missing on the side of it, so I was thinking maybe asking him to enter in it, really.
Yeah.
He just did it all.
There's always a bit you miss, isn't there?
Mm.
I have to say, for people that are going to maybe inspired to have a lockdown haircut after listening to this, do it in the garden. Because we did it in the front room and there's flipping hair everywhere. Now, it's like I've molted like an English sheepdog. There's stuff, it is everywhere. And we've got a Dyson as well, a decent flipping Hoover, and it's still not coming.
Someone's doing well with a Dyson.
Yeah. Tell you what, Sam, it's cordless as well. Revolution. Oh. The stairs have never seen so much action. But yeah, I saw someone doing it in the garden the other week I think it was someone on Derby Square, and I thought that's a bit odd, but now I see why, because it's just taken away by the elements and you haven't got to worry about hair everywhere afterwards. So that would be my
no responsibility.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on to our first news story of the week. Sam, now, this has been all over social media this week, isn't it? The old horse trams. Is it, won't it, will it, how long, how short, when, who, where? You know, there's so many questions. And when I saw this news story break, I thought, there's a man that can tell me these answers. Over to you.
I don't know. So, essentially, we're at the stage now, we've lived for the past year or so now with an absolute tragic mess that is the Promenade Regeneration Scheme. It was meant to be completed, of course, in October this year, then got pushed back, and it was going to be August next year. However, COVID's given us an opportunity, so let's get it done quicker. So we thought, well, how are they going to do that? Turns out they're going to end the horse trams at the War Memorial. Or so we thought. This got sent out on a government newsletter saying they were going to stop there. The government then the next day went, no, that's wrong. So for the second weekend running, we had the government saying that something that was issued by the government was wrong, which is quite an impressive achievement, really. And then we got to, so eventually they go, oh no, they're going to get to the War Memorial, but not even in terms of April. So by next April, they'll reach Broadway. And then over the next winter, so 2021-22, they're going to move them across the road to the War Memorial. And then 2022-23, they plan to get to the Sea Terminal. However, thrown into the mix of all this, of course, there's a general election next year. So ministers are being asked, can you guarantee, I'm excited. People in America are getting ready for Biden versus Trump. They don't even know what's going to happen in Aaron Michael. You know? That's what really matters in this world. Can Jason Morehouse hang on to Aubrey Castletown and Malou? We just don't know. No. This is bigger than Brexit, I'm telling you, right? So essentially, they're all saying, oh, well, we'd like it to reach the sea terminal. We'd like to go the full length of the prom. But they've not actually given a commitment to, you know, I think Howard Quayle said, Chief Minister, he made a comment saying he would like to see it, and he'd sort of like guarantee that the will be there. Of course, there's a good chance he won't be chief minister after, you know, next, I think they will very likely elect a new chief minister because they tend to do 5 years. So at which point you're looking at it going, well, say his mind, because of course the whole reason they've got to go to the C-term is because of a timid motion. So it's all a bit of a mess. And of course, that means that our beloved promenade scheme will have taken 5 years to nearly be completed, which is quite remarkable for 2.5 miles of road, which, you know, even allowing for the fact that they've dug it all up and, you know, we fully understand that it's a lot of it's Victorian engineering and bits that have been added in. So they've dug up the road and gone, what on earth is that? And it turns out it's pipes that no longer go anywhere or they've just been, you know, left. So we get that. It's not been an easy job, but they've managed to make it worse.
Now, I don't know if you saw, we do a feature in the Manx Independent called Down Memory Lane, where I generally go onto the iMuseum archives, raid the thing with a theme in mind. Now, this week, as it was all over the place, I was going to use, I used the horse trams as my theme. Now, Sam, when was the first horse tram?
Oh, I know this. It was in... Was it 1903?
No, 1876.
1876, I should have known that.
And it was founded by a retired engineer from Sheffield who thought it would be a good idea. Now, originally, fun fact, podcast fans, I can see the glazed expressions on Katie and Jess already. Sam, by contrast, is buzzing. But it only ran from the terminus at the Derby Castle... Derby Castle End, to Broadway and the Iron Pier. There used to be a pier there set it out from Broadway, and it stopped there. So that was the first thing. Actually, it went bust in 1902 and was bought by Douglas Corporation. Douglas Corporation, then that famously exchanged hands in 2015, wasn't it, Sam, into the Isle of Man government or the Isle of Man Transport?
Was it? But I thought it was a couple of years after that, to be honest. You probably
2015.
Right. Douglas Corporation basically pulled the fast one and said, we can't afford to run it anymore.
Yeah.
If you want to run it, the government took it over, and then, yeah, Douglas Corporation freed themselves from £500,000 worth of losses every year.
So, yeah, there is quite an interesting history to it, and I can see why certain people want to save it. Equally, when we're, especially after the current coronavirus epidemic, we can't be just throwing money at it. So it's a tough one, isn't it? Sam, are you for or against the horse trams?
Right. Well, a couple of things on that. First of all, the money has already been guaranteed. You know, they've already bought the rights, and Timbald has already given them the money for the budget. But also, I out of all the Ireland's rails, it's probably the one I care about the least. I like the horses. This is really cool. But the bigger issue for me is the fact that we have a planning committee and we have Timbald, which vote on these things and pass planning applications, and both of them were done to say that that horse tram was going to go to the sea terminal. And we've basically just got a department gone, yeah, but, you know, problems. And they're trying to blame COVID-19 on the fact that it's not going to get there in time. In reality, the scheme was well behind schedule anyway. So I think, yes, I hope it gets there, but if it doesn't, I don't care from a tourist point of view or a horse tram point of view. I care about it more from a democracy point of view.
Katie, when was the last time you were on a horse tram?
Probably last TT, but definitely is it always in TT week, because you're always in the beer tent and then you remember horse trams exist and you're very drunk and you're like, I'll get on a horse tram. That's what I'll do.
Jess? I can't remember the last time I was on it. I'm actually allergic to horses, so I don't think I've actually, maybe been one of the reasons I've not been on it, even though it's obviously out in the open.
I was once in a bar in Argentina, and an American girl was chatting to me, and she asked where I was from, and I said, the Isle of Man, and she was like, oh, fantastic, so you've been on the horse trams before.
Oh, well, that's the thing, like, I get why people don't want to have it, but, you know, we've seen in the past news, about how they want different parts of the island to have a strong identity. Well, that is a strong identifier in the Douglas culture. So getting rid of it, what does Douglas have?
So if you want to hear more about the horse trams, Sam's done an excellent piece in this week's Independent, page 3. And of course, there's Adrian's plotted history of the horse trams. And of course, there's my old pictures on Down Memory Lane. So the Indy really is a horse tram special.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on. Now, we talked about poor communication, maybe involving the horse trams, Jess. Now, there was certainly some poor communication last week with the bank holiday that never was, that is, as it were. Alf Cannon has apologised because now we've lost the senior race day bank holiday, but now we've gained one in August, haven't we?
Yeah, it was very confusing. So when they announced it, it was, I mean, the Manx public, they're going along on a Corona coaster at the moment. So to hear that the senior race bank holiday was cancelled, I mean, this is a day that everybody looks forward to. You know, just wait for the sunshine, wait for the races. It's everyone's buzzing for that day. And then to be told that it's just absolutely cancelled, people's hearts were broken and people were furious. And it led to a lot of action with people signing a petition, which reached over 6,000 signatures, I believe. And yeah, so people were absolutely kicking off. And then later on, Tynwald Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon apologised, saying that they hadn't really communicated it very well, that in fact they were going to replace the day, because TT's off, with another bank holiday, which was in recognition of nurses, I believe. And yeah, so that's on August 28th. But yeah, it's just, I mean...
But August 28th, it leads into an actual bank holiday weekend already, doesn't it? So it'll be a four-day break.
Yeah, and lots of people are pretty happy with that. So I think he's kind of... Well, they've eased the tension there quite well, but it really kicked off, didn't it? I remember straight after that, the petition was going for it.
Again, this kicked up a storm on social media. Now, Sam, what do you think? Because obviously there was some people saying, let's get real, it's only a bank holiday, you know, at this time we should be thinking about the bigger picture and all that. Or do you think it was an absolute own goal to use the sporting parlance from the Manx government?
There's two elements of it, really, in that a lot of key workers won't be able to have the day off anyway at this time of year because they'll still be working, obviously. And also, you know, places closed, which I get. But I think that, you know, there's issues about like statutory holidays and when people are due off for bank holidays and contracts and all that. I think really it was a massive own goal from a communication point of view. I get that they're very busy, but there's a lot of people in government. One of them must have realised that order paper was going out and that they were putting the bank holiday on it. So, you know, I just think it's poor form.
I've seen a bit of criticism this morning because Thursday's press conference was meant to be when they were talking about gatherings. Now, Howard's speech was talking about, was it Jess you were on press conference duty yesterday? Was it Sam? I can't remember now.
Oh, that was Sam.
Sam. And obviously there was a lot of chat about, this was going to be when they were going to talk about the roadmap for gatherings, as it were. Now, he basically said we can discuss it further because such a complex issue. It's going before the council ministers on Saturday morning, is that correct? And then Monday is going to be the new...
Monday.
When he announces what's going to happen next. Is that right?
Yeah. They just keep putting it off, which is really frustrating.
I know it's frustrating, but you'd rather they get it right, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the press conferences last week or week before where there were someone... I can't remember if it was one of the other journalists or... was a question that was sent in or something like that, where they were asked to give their mark on the government, how they've dealt with the coronavirus. I personally think they've done quite a good job, apart from this last couple of weeks, there has been a couple of slips with the bank holiday and stuff like that. Yeah. So
it's just communication, isn't it?
I think that plays into the thing that realistically it's easy to lock people down. It's harder to reopen. But I mean, you know, they've got more people in their communication office than we have working in this office as a whole. And When your point is you've got to be clear and on the message, they haven't done the UK thing, which is just this complete muddle of a stay safe, stay alert. It's an invisible enemy, but you've got to see it, and it's hiding in the bushes. Like, you know, they haven't gone down that road, at least. But at the same time, I just think that they've made a complete and utter mess of the past week, 10 days, in terms of they've lost a lot of... I think there's sort of like a thing, of course, everyone's been very supportive of it, but then they've lost a bit of public support a couple of times now over issues that really should never have been a problem. Yeah. But they've made them a problem by just doing something wrong and then not responding to it quickly enough.
Before we move on to a good news sports story that I've managed to dredge up this week, what do we think about the press conference as a whole? do we think they've had their day now? Obviously, look at some of the comments. People are saying, oh, they're saying the same stuff over and over again. Do we think that maybe should be come down from daily? Jess and Sam, obviously, you've covered both. Now, what do you think, Jess? Is it time to maybe cut them back a little bit?
Yeah, I do think so. Like, as someone who's actually doing it, like, almost every day, I guess, you do run out of questions, and a lot of people in the public are complaining that you're repeating questions, but it's quite tricky because you're not always getting the answer that you need. So you have to try and rethink of a way to ask or rephrase that question, and then people kick off. And yeah, so I think, I know it's going to change. I've been told it's going to change, or they're thinking of changing it anyway. So that way we have longer one-to-one kind of conversations with ministers, and that way we'll be able to actually kind of grasp more information by asking further questions instead of just being restricted to two. I mean, sometimes they'll ask go further, but it just doesn't work now that we're getting more into it. It worked at first because people, obviously it was so fast and fluid, as they say, but now we've kind of settled into the reality of it, and we just need to get more facts and more of the details, and you can't really do that with just two questions.
Sam?
I think part of the problem, and I'm not knocking any news organisation who's involved in it, I think part of the problem is that they've got to the point where there's too many.
There's nine now, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. So by which point, I mean, I said it yesterday, and I think it is a reality. You can see the numbers dropping the longer it goes. That if you're there for 40 minutes waiting to ask a question because you're ninth, there's a good chance that a lot of what you were going to ask has been raked over. So by which point, even if you're fifth or sixth, you know, you get to the point where if they made an announcement, there's only so much you can ask on that announcement. Yeah. Where then if you ask for a clarification on a point they previously made, you know, you get people on Facebook saying, oh, you've already asked this. This has been asked before. You're just repeating it. And then you get people saying, well, can I do this? Can I do that? And you say, well, in a sense, it's not the forum for individual concerns. You know, I think people should, in some instances, be writing to their, you know, writing to their MHKs and asking them, or looking at government websites. And sometimes, you know, we do get some things in, you know, this is happening and what's happening with this. And you say, oh, like, I'll give you an example. They say, when will dental services get back up and running? And you go, well, they've said a few times now when they can, you know, they're not going to give timelines on these things. It'll be a case of as things become available, they'll do it. So really, they're easier to begin with, but now the longer it's gone on, the harder they've got, really.
And Casey, finally, as a listener, have you your interest started to wane a bit in them?
I still listen every day. I think definitely, you know, 6, 5, 4 weeks ago, it was like you definitely wanted to tune in every day because you kind of a morbid curiosity to see how many cases there were and, you know, what was happening that way. But because all of the information was brand new, like all of the schemes they were announcing financially or, you know, with any developments up at the hospital or emergency, you know, procedures they were doing, you had to know what was happening kind of quickly because it moved so fast. But like Sam said, now it's, you get people asking questions that just we've heard time and time again that no one will answer because they want dates and they're not going to give dates for anything.
Mm. It also seems to be, there's another person rolled out yesterday, it was Ray Harmer, and he seems to then give a synopsis of what's happened so far. I don't know whether they're being briefed to do that or whatever, but yeah, you get a lot of the same information.
Just repetition, really, isn't it?
I think one big thing I would change is, do you remember when we've had like doctors in who've been able to say, oh, well, this is what we're doing on the ground, and there is a bit of repetition of what politicians say, but they're able to give a lot more clinical explanation for what's happening and why.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
A lot more value than ministers stood there, because while they've got the overview of what's happening, they've got the figures, they don't necessarily have the medical
insight
to explain to people. And also, you know, doctors are used to explaining very technical things to people that they'll understand. And I think that really quite helps with some of these things.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story involves Christian Varley. I think we've discussed him before on the podcast. He's running 19 marathons in 19 days for the Manx Solidarity Fund. He's still going. We're on day, what are we on, the 15th today? So he's on Marathon 15. He was starting at 12 o'clock up in Ramsey, I think. He's tried to vary his route a little bit, which you'd understand. Otherwise, you go a little bit stir crazy, you'd think. He's had some horrendous blisters and some swollen ankles. I've seen pictures on Facebook for that. But he's battling through. And the pace he's doing, I'd be in awe. If I could do one in the pace he's doing, I'd be over the moon, let alone 19. So he's doing fantastic. Now, he's raised, I think, over £40,000 now, because he was up to about 20-something the other day. And then e-gaming company King Gaming gave him 19 grand, which is very generous of them to add to his fund. And obviously, this is all in aid of the charity, the Manx Solidarity Fund, which is hopefully there to help businesses and self-employed and people like that with grants going forward.
Did I imagine it, or did Chris Kamara release a message for
Yes,
them?
Very good point, Katie. So the people have been getting celebrities and other sports people to send messages of encouragement in. So Chris Kamara, Unbelievable Jeff was one of them. Tim Cahill, Everton midfielder. Tony Bellew, the former boxer. And there's been a couple of world endurance guys and triathlon guys have sent messages in, so for Christian. But it's a phenomenal effort. I saw on his Facebook page, or I think the other day, it's not just the running. He does, when he gets home, he's on a static bike to try and keep his legs going. Then he's got a roller regime, yoga, and all sorts of massage and stuff, just so he's in some sort of state to start the next day. So it's a phenomenal effort.
He's an actual machine.
Yeah, it's amazing. So well done, Christian. Hopefully you've listened to the podcast while you've been out on there on a run. I'm sure that would be good. But day 19, I think the 19th is Tuesday, isn't it? I'm sure there'll be that when he finishes that, there'll be such an outpouring of emotion, not just from him, but from whoever's watching, because it seems to have captured the community's attention, deservedly as well, because it's an amazing effort.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Sam, this week in history, 1948. We've talked about Montgomery of the Alamein before, I think, but he's on the front page of the Alamein Examiner this week, Friday, May 14th, because he had to be made a Freeman of Douglas, wasn't he?
Yeah, Montgomery of the Alamein, you know, Field Marshal himself, victor of the Second World War, depending on which view, of course, you take of history.
Right, Katie, what adverts caught your eye on the front page of the Alamein Examiner, Friday, May 14th, 1948?
Well, two in the bottom corners. One is the headwear novelties, R.C. Kane's, which looks like a lovely selection of scarves, gloves, neckwear, blouses and jumpers.
Would you still be wearing a jumper in May? Are we still in jumper zone? Or
I'm wearing a jumper today, and I put a coat on.
It's chilly.
Is it? Well,
it is. Have you been outside yet today?
I haven't been outside today yet. I need to bring the bin back in, actually, so we'll be going outside later. But
my dad had the fire on yesterday. It was that cold.
Did he? Yeah. Someone's doing well. I saw there was an advert for Zolak paint as well, Kate. You know, obviously we had one a couple of weeks ago where it was involved horses and we couldn't.
Wasn't that around the time of the Grand National, and it was like finish, and it was the horses jumping over like a painted fence.
Yeah, yeah. And of course Hotel Sefton, top left.
Yes. But has anyone seen the one in the bottom right corner, which is again for Lions, the fashion centre? I had to Google what Whitsuntide was.
What is it?
It's the seventh Sunday after Easter. And it's the Pentecost?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I think so.
Yes, the Pentecost, which I don't know what any of this means. It is a religious celebration, though. This year, it will be Sunday 31st of May. But apparently, it was very common to get very dressed up for church, and like neighbours would give the kids in the street some money to buy sweets and things. So you had to be in your best for the Whitsuntide.
Right, so that was the Alamein Examiner of Friday, May 14th, 1948. If you want to see more of that, that's in the Alamein Examiner. Oh, see what we did there. Next week on Tuesday, which will be on sale on Tuesday, either in your shops or you can get it digitally. It's easy for me to say at iamtoday.co.im and click on the digital editions tab. Right, my favourite part of the week, and obviously we didn't have this last week, Katie, so I'm expecting a bumper edition of Yes or Training. And you've teased us with the phrase Tom the Dipper on our script.
Yeah. Well, do you know who he is?
No.
Okay. Nope. Well, I went out for a drive on last weekend. And so basically I go past this all the time and I always see this plaque to him, but I have no idea who he was. So, you know, when you've come up this and there's like the really beautiful viewpoint that looks out and you can see over Port St. Mary and you can see just everything. It's beautiful from up there. There's a little plaque and it says this was where Tom the Dipper's cottage was. So that inspired me to go on a mission to find out who the Tom the Dipper was. He was Thomas Shimmin, or Tom the Dipper. He was born in 1800 and was originally a rag picker, which is a scavenger recycler type chap. And then I read on one page that he had a donkey and a cart, which he would go out in around Port Erin, and it had the plaque True Manxman on it.
Dragon Bone Man.
He was a poet and a singer, and he wrote in both Manx Gaelic and English. And some of his poems include £5 of Wit for a Penny and The Royal Manx Railway. So he was kind of known for his poetry, but he was quite infamous for some other stuff he used to do. He was also a thief, and he was sentenced for robbery in 1843. And after that robbery in 1843, he was actually sentenced to transportation to Australia, but eventually pardoned and released 4 years later because he was like a preacher and a reformed character. And then he was again arrested in 1851 for robbery. So that reformed.
What?
There's one reference to him by J.A. Brown, who was one of the founders of Freemasonry on the Isle of Man. And he refers to Tom as a ferocious liar and a clever smuggler of rum.
So the big question I think we're all probably thinking is, when are Netflix going to make the series of Tom the Dipper?
Yeah.
He died of a severe cold in 1879 and was buried in a pauper's grave. But I just think, the more I read about him, the more he just kind of sounds like a lovable rogue.
He sounds like Greengrass from
Heartbeat, yeah.
And that's not the first time we've mentioned Greengrass on this podcast.
We are quite, like, big supporters of the programme Heartbeat, though.
Yeah. Well, perhaps Tom the Dipper was the inspiration for Greengrass's character.
Yeah. So yeah, when you'd go up there, so you've got like, you know where the picnic tables are and you overlook in the view? Behind that is a little brick tower with a plaque on, and that's where him and his wife's cottage was.
So have you got any pictures of Tom the Dipper? Have you found any?
I can't find any pictures of him. Everything I find is just pictures of his plaque or what the cottage could have looked like. I will keep on Googling and let you know, because why? What do you imagine he looked like?
Well, I'm just thinking who would play him in the television series. So we want someone that's a little bit shifty, good with donkeys.
I think,
Knows his way around recyclables.
Yeah. I read some of his poems, and one of them, the first line is just slagging off Castletown. But I'll try to find it. They're quite funny.
I want to read that.
Sam, who are you suggesting?
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. I don't know. Katie just said he became a preacher in his later life, so I don't know where maybe that would go well.
Well, Mel Gibson preached some very controversial views at one point, so I think.
Yeah, maybe not Mel Gibson. So how do we know how old he was when he died, Katie?
So I think he would be nearly 80 when he died, because I think he was born in 1800 and he died in 1879.
That's all right.
Life.
I definitely think there's a Netflix series in this, because you can chart his life, couldn't you? Tom the Dipper would be an amazing name as well, wouldn't it? You know, everyone would be all over it. It'd be the new Tiger King, Tom the Dipper. And then you get the theme tune could be him slagging off Castletown. Well, if you can find a picture, please do forward it to Grace, and she can put it on our social media, on Twitter and Instagram. Indeed, if anyone knows any more stories about Tom the Dipper, because he sounds like an amazing character, maybe in a couple of weeks we could have true or false, you know, are they correct Tom the Dipper stories, or are the ones we've made up?
Because he's, I can't find if he had children or not, because there must be a lot of, if he did, there'd be a lot of descendants still over here.
I bet Tom had a girl in every port, if you know what I mean. maybe not Castletown, but everywhere.
Yeah.
Where else?
So that was Tom the Dipper. That was very interesting, that, Katie. Keep up the good work. So have you got a picture of the plaque we could maybe put up on social media?
Yes.
Then
yes,
we could all pay homage to Tom the Dipper in some sort of weird pilgrimage, the social distancing pilgrimage sort of way. Right, that's about it for this week's podcast. Much coming up next week, Sam. I know we're obviously busy with the coronavirus, and obviously Monday there's going to be more announcements around gatherings and stuff like that. But there is other stuff going on at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, the keys are back. They're sitting today, of all days.
Right. So, anything interesting on the agenda?
Prisoners' rights has come up again. As we know, this is quite a controversial issue in terms of there was a advocate, Ian Kermode, who has said, in fact, there was another one this morning when I was in court with another advocate saying that conditions at the prison are not very good. So there's a lot to look into, I think, with this at the minute, actually.
Jess, you got much coming up?
Yeah, so we've got an interesting piece about a former Ramsey Grammar school student who has appeared on Channel 5, a documentary called Rich Kids Go Homeless. So he basically experiences what life is like for the homeless on London streets for a few days, and yeah, just kind of changes his perspective on the issue. Otherwise, I'm giving an update on Dr. Martin Rankin, who's been walking the Radney Foyland. He's at the moment he's going to the Waterfall pub at Glen May. So the fact that he's managed to walk from Nova's Hospital all the way up around like Ramsey Park, all the way back down to Peel, and now Waterfall pub, that's pretty exceptional, really.
The families of doctors and frontline NHS workers that have died because of the COVID virus, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So he's hoping to raise £1 million towards them, because he says the support is essential, really. These are people who have no longer got that source of income that the family member was bringing in, and yeah, so he just wants to support them basically and just make sure they're having a bit of a tribute there.
And is he still doing it in his dressing gown?
Yeah, the whole way.
Unbelievable. Absolute scenes. Although I do think when obviously lockdown restrictions are released further and we return to the office and stuff like that, it is going to be weird wearing like even a shirt and trousers, apart from Sam, who's stoically dressed throughout this whole thing. You've been going into the office, but the rest of us, like, I don't think I've put on some trousers that don't have an elasticated waist in about 6-7 weeks now. It's going to be The fear is real, if you know what I mean. So,
to be fair, I wear a shirt, but I quite often just wear, like, you know, Hawaiian shorts.
Katie, much coming up next week in the world of distribution?
Yeah.
Do you want to remind people where they can get a digital copy of our esteemed publications?
Yes. So I just wanted to say as well, if there's any of our voucher subscriber listeners, like any of the subscribers, if they listen, we're also offering complimentary digital editions to you at the moment in case you can't get out of the house. So if anyone would like the digital editions in addition to their voucher subscription, if they contact us, subscriptions@iomtoday.co.im, we can set you up and talk you through digital editions.
Right. And as I said before, digital editions tab on iomtoday.co.im, you'll find all of our papers, including The Courier, which of course you can read for free. As well as the Manx Independent and the Element Examiner, which are £1, which is 10p cheaper than the paper versions, isn't it?
It is, and also there's all those supplements that we've done, they're all there. So if you want to look at home from last year, you can do.
And if you're thinking,
is it your favourite destination, IOM?
Yeah, or TT would have been just on the horizon before it was cancelled, and you're thinking, oh, what happened to last year's TT? all last year's TT News are up there as well, aren't they? Not worth the read.
Yes.
Definitely worth the read. Not that I had any input on, but yeah, definitely worth a read. I'm winking. I don't know why I'm winking, because this is a podcast. You won't be able to see me winking. So that was quite pointless. Right, that's about it then for this week. Thanks again to Zoom. And until next week.
Bye for now.